This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How shame distorts accurate self-perception. When shame runs the mirror, everything you see about yourself is wrong. In short, shame distorts self-perception by replacing honest self-assessment with a global verdict that you are fundamentally flawed. It filters experience through that verdict, making successes invisible and failures feel permanent. Shame operates below conscious thought, so most people never notice it running. It produces both excessive self-criticism and defensive overconfidence, depending on the person. Catching the distortion is the beginning of accurate self-knowledge. Definition: shame distorts self-perception when the belief that you are fundamentally flawed replaces honest self-assessment. Unlike guilt, which targets a specific behavior, shame targets your identity, corrupting your ability to see yourself clearly across all situations and relationships. I want to tell you about a manager I knew. Talented, respected, good instincts. She would ask her team for honest feedback and then spend 3 days dissecting every mild to critical word until she had built a case against herself that bore no resemblance to what anyone actually said. She genuinely believed she was being self-aware. She was keeping a thorough record of her failures and blind spots, but shame distorts self-perception so completely that rigorous self-examination can become just another tool for self-attack, with no clear picture of reality at the end. This is the cruelty of it. The people most likely to suffer from shame-driven distortion are often the people trying hardest to know themselves. The signs are easy to miss because they look like conscientiousness, humility, or high standards. Knowing what to look for changes that. Why shame-driven distortion hides so well. Shame is not like anger or grief. Those emotions announce themselves. Shame burrows in and disguises itself as your own honest voice. When it speaks, it sounds like self-knowledge. I'm not as good as they think, or I knew I'd mess that up eventually. You trust it because it feels like clear-eyed assessment. It is not. It is a filter, and everything passing through it gets bent. Shame also wears the costume of virtue. The person who can never accept a compliment looks modest. The person who rehearses every past mistake looks thorough. The person who avoids evaluative conversations looks appropriately cautious. We reward these behaviors socially, which means they rarely get examined. By the time someone realizes the pattern, it has been in place for years. 6 signs that shame is running your self-assessment. 1. You cannot hold positive evidence for more than a moment. What it looks like: you receive genuine praise, a strong performance review, or clear evidence of your competence, and within hours it has dissolved. You remember the criticism, but not the confirmation. Why it happens: shame maintains its grip by rejecting evidence that contradicts its verdict. Your self-concept has calcified around a story of deficiency, and your mind actively works to protect that story by discarding what does not fit. Why it matters: you cannot build an accurate picture of your strengths if your memory deletes them on arrival. Your self-assessment becomes structurally biased toward failure. What to do? Write positive feedback down the day you receive it, not in a gratitude journal, on a plain piece of paper, in plain language. Then read it back weekly for a month. You're training your mind to hold what it has been trained to release. I have done this myself. I used to think I was just being realistic. It took me years to see I was being selectively blind. 2. Self-reflection becomes self-prosecution. What it looks like: you sit down to think honestly about your behavior in a difficult situation. 40 minutes later, you're litigating something from 4 years ago. The original question has vanished. Why it happens: genuine self-reflection requires a stable sense of self to return to. When shame has eroded that stability, introspection has no anchor. Every thread you pull unravels into something older and darker. Why it matters: this is directly relevant to your capacity for honest self-awareness at work. If feedback triggers a defensive reaction, it is often because the anadoler has read the feedback as confirmation of shame, not as useful information. What to do? Set a timer for self-reflection. 15 minutes. One specific incident. One specific question. When the timer ends, stop. You are building a container. Shame thrives in unstructured rumination. 3. You overexplain before anyone has questioned you. What it looks like: you deliver a piece of work and immediately follow it with a long preemptive list of its limitations. You apologize for a decision before anyone has expressed any concern. You justify yourself to people who are not yet forming a judgment. Why it happens. This is a shame management strategy. If you name your flaws first, no one else can use them against you. It feels like honesty and self-awareness. It is actually a defense mechanism. Why it matters. It teaches the people around you that your default setting is insecurity. It undermines your credibility and makes real self-disclosure, the kind that actually builds trust, feel impossible. What to do? Notice when you start an explanation nobody asked for. Pause. Deliver the work without the disclaimer. Wait to see what actually happens. Nothing is a form of data. Here is the truth of it. Preemptive self-criticism is not humility. It is fear wearing humility's coat. 4. You read neutral responses as criticism. What it looks like. A colleague does not reply to your message immediately. Your manager says interesting during a presentation. Someone asks a clarifying question. You interpret these as evidence that something is wrong with you or your work. Why it happens. Shame creates a hypervigilant scanning system. Your brain is always looking for confirmation that the verdict is correct, so it finds signal in noise. A neutral expression becomes a frown. Silence becomes disapproval. Why it matters. This is the kind of distortion that quietly poisons working relationships. If your team's emotional regulation is already under strain, the misreading of neutral cues can create conflict where none existed and damage trust you worked hard to build. What to do? When you notice yourself interpreting ambiguity negatively, ask one question. What is the most neutral explanation for what I just observed? Write it down. You are interrupting a habit, not resolving a problem. Interruption is enough to start with. 5. Overconfidence but cannot tolerate scrutiny. What it looks like, you project strong certainty in your opinions and abilities. But the moment someone probes or questions, the certainty evaporates into frustration or withdrawal. You cannot engage with critique because you cannot afford to. Why it matters. This one surprises people. They expect shame to produce self-doubt, not self-assertion. But for some people, shame is managed through a constructed image of competence that must never crack. The overconfidence is not arrogance. It is armor. And armor blocks honest self-awareness just as surely as constant self-criticism does. Why it happens. When your sense of self is fragile, honest assessment feels existentially dangerous. You cannot afford to find out you were wrong, because wrong does not mean I made a mistake. It means I am what I feared I was. What to do? Notice the quality of your certainty. Does it feel grounded, or does it feel urgent? Grounded confidence can sit with a challenge. Urgent confidence needs to defeat it. That urgency is worth examining. The confidence-competence loop only functions when your confidence is built on honest self-assessment, not on protecting a story. 6. Your standards for yourself are calibrated to a different scale than for everyone else. What it looks like. When a colleague makes the same mistake you made last week, you offer perspective and support. When you make it, the verdict is swift and severe. You hold yourself to a standard you would never apply to anyone you care about. Why it happens. Shame is a story about who you are, not what you did. So when you act, every mistake confirms the story. When others act, you can assess the behavior without it implicating their identity. Why it matters. This double standard quietly destroys your ability to trust your own self-assessments. You know, somewhere, that you are not playing fair with yourself. That knowledge erodes the confidence to act on your own judgment. What to do? The next time you catch yourself being severe about a mistake, write down what you would say to a respected colleague who made the same error. Then read it back to yourself. You already know how to offer accurate, fair assessment. You just need to extend it inward. The root that feeds all of it. These signs are varied, but they share one source. Shame replaces your identity with a verdict. It collapses the difference between I did something poorly and I'm poor. Once that collapse happens, honest self-assessment becomes almost impossible, because every observation is filtered through the question, does this confirm or deny the verdict? This is why addressing individual signs in isolation really sticks. You can learn to write down positive feedback and still feel it does not count. You can stop over-explaining and still read silence as disapproval. The deeper move is to restore the separation between your behavior and your identity, not as a philosophy, but as a daily practice. Understanding how emotional regulation affects interpersonal dynamics is directly connected to this. When your identity feels secure, you can stay present in difficult conversations. When shame has destabilized it, every conversation is a potential threat. A quick diagnostic you can use right now. Read each statement and mark it honestly. Yes or no only. I regularly dismiss positive feedback before it settles. When I reflect on difficult situations, the reflection often becomes a wider indictment of my character. I apologize or explain before anyone has raised a concern. I interpret silence or neutral responses as evidence of disapproval. My self-criticism is notably harsher than the standard I apply to others. I find it difficult to sit with scrutiny of my work without it feeling personal. When I make a mistake, my first response is shame rather than problem-solving. Scoring 0-1. Shame is unlikely to be significantly distorting your self-perception right now. 2-3. Some distortion is present. These patterns deserve your attention before they deepen. 4-5. Shame is playing a substantial role in how you see yourself. The first move below is worth taking this week. 6-7. Shame has likely been running your self-assessment for a long time. Consider working with a trusted professional alongside the self-directed steps here. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where to begin? The first move is not a deep excavation of your past. It is a single, repeatable distinction you start making today. When a self-critical thought arises, ask, is this about something I did? Or something I am. If the thought is about a behavior, it is workable. You can examine it, learn from it, and adjust. If the thought is about your character, your worth, or what you fundamentally are, that is shame talking, and it is not a reliable witness. Write that thought down. Label it explicitly. This is shame, not fact. You are not arguing with it yet. You are just naming it as something distinct from reality. That distinction, practiced consistently, is the foundation of clearer self-awareness. From there, you can begin the steadier work building an honest, grounded picture of who you are and how you actually operate. Teams that do this well, where members can assess themselves accurately without the distortion of shame, build more honest communication and stronger collective trust. You can see how that dynamic develops in practice by looking at how teams build synergy faster when self-assessment is accurate. Shame distorts self-perception most powerfully when it operates unnamed and unchallenged. Name it. That is where it begins to lose its grip. Frequently asked questions. How does shame distort self-perception? Shame distorts self-perception by replacing honest self-assessment with a fixed, global verdict that you are fundamentally flawed. It filters every experience through that verdict, so successes get dismissed and failures feel permanent. Over time, you stop seeing clearly and start seeing only what shame wants you to see. What is the difference between shame and guilt and self-awareness? Guilt says you did something wrong. Shame says you are something wrong. That distinction matters enormously for self-awareness. Guilt is specific and correctable. Shame is global and sticky. It corrupts your ability to assess yourself accurately because it operates below the level of behavior, targeting your sense of identity itself. Can shame make you overconfident instead of self-critical? Yes. And this surprises most people. Some individuals respond to shame by building a wall of overconfidence that protects them from honest self-assessment. They cannot tolerate criticism because criticism confirms their deepest fear. Their overconfidence is not arrogance, it is armor. And it blocks genuine self-awareness just as thoroughly as self-doubt does. How do you know if shame is affecting your self-assessment at work? Watch for these signals. You catastrophize small mistakes. You cannot receive positive feedback without dismissing it. You avoid situations where you might be evaluated, or you over-explain every decision before anyone asks. These are not personality quirks. They are signs that shame is running your self-assessment process instead of clear-eyed reflection. What is the first step to correcting shame-based self-perception? The first step is separating behavior from identity. When you notice a self-critical thought, ask whether it describes something you did or something you are. If the thought is about your character rather than a specific action, that is shame talking. Writing it down and naming it as shame, not fact, begins to loosen its grip. Does emotional intelligence help with shame-driven distortion? Emotional intelligence is both the goal and the tool here. Higher self-awareness helps you catch shame-based distortions faster, but shame actively undermines the emotional intelligence skills you need to develop. You build your way out by practicing small acts of honest self-reflection in low-stakes situations, where shame has less power to hijack your thinking. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.